1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Hurricane Francine targeting the Gulf Coast and expected to make landfall in Louisiana in the coming hours south of New Orleans. Jason Bergeron is president of the Terrebonne Parish, where key levees are located.
This path is our worst case scenario, and thankfully it's not as strong a storm as it could be. And so we're just really making sure, you know, everybody inside the levee system should be okay. You know, maybe have a little bit of topping, but hopefully not much. And then not having any levees break, but we're keeping an eye on it on a steady basis.
Around the country, remembrances today marking 23 years since the September 11th attacks. Nearly 3,000 died moments after hijackers crashed planes into the World Trade Center in New York City, the Pentagon, and a remote field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. The Consumer Price Index signaling inflation is cooling, now at a 2.5% annual rate, which could pave the way for the Federal Reserve to issue the first interest rate cut since the pandemic. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris pulling out to a 4-point lead over Donald Trump in Wisconsin in the latest Marquette poll. A month ago, the race was a virtual dead heat. Poll director Charles Franklin won't call it a post-convention bounce.
We haven't seen much evidence of a post-convention bounce in other polling and national polling. So maybe we're catching a bounce that others haven't caught. Maybe it's happening here, but not nationally.
The poll was taken before last night's debate. Meanwhile, Tammy Baldwin has a 5-point lead over Eric Hovde among likely voters in the race for U.S. Senate. September 11th remembrances all over Wisconsin today. Flags are at half-staff to honor all who died 23 years ago. Governor Evers is encouraging acts of service. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The missing swimmer from Richland Center has been identified. Sauk County Sheriff Chip Meister says the body of Luis Miguel Lopez Jimenez, 24, of Richland Center, was found Monday morning washed up on a sandbar in the Wisconsin River, approximately 2 miles downriver from where he was reported missing on September 1st while swimming with friends. Again, the missing swimmer, whose body was found near Spring Green, is Luis Miguel Lopez Jimenez, 24, of Richland Center. An appeals court has ruled that a Wisconsin teenager accused of killing a 10-year-old girl will be tried as an adult. The teenager, identified in court documents only as CTPB, was charged as an adult with first-degree intentional homicide and 2 counts of sexual assault in connection with the April 2022 death of Ileana Lily Peters. Prosecutors say the boy, who was 14 at the time, persuaded the girl to leave a trail and explore the surrounding woods as she was riding her bike home from her aunt's house in Chippewa Falls. And that's what you need to know.
The Brewers start the road trip off with a win. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Milwaukee did just enough to get a 3-2 win over the San Francisco Giants on Tuesday. Game 2 in the series is tonight. It's the second game of a 6-game swing out west. Without quarterback Jordan Love available this week due to a sprained MCL, the Packers will go with Malik Willis, who they traded for this preseason. Willis played at the very end of the game with Philadelphia last week. Coach Matt LaFleur said they are getting Willis ready for Indianapolis on Sunday.
You got to play to your player's strengths, so it's our job to try to come up with whatever we come up with in order to put him in a position to be successful.
It'll be the Packers and the Colts this Sunday as each team tries for its first win. And on Saturday, one of college football's top programs comes to Madison. Wisconsin will play host to Alabama. Kickoff is at 11 a.m. This week, Civic Media stations have a full slate of high school football. Download the free Civic Media app and don't miss a snap this season. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the low to mid 80s this afternoon. The wind out of the south at around 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, low in the mid 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 82.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'll talk about the phenomenon of post-summer gelato. And I welcome the band Cat and the Hurricane, who will tell us all about their Midwestern tour.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. So what did you think of the debate? Today is a debate show. That is what we're going to be talking about. Of course, we'll also have Maggie and the Millionaires talking money at 3 p.m., but the rest of it is going to be about the debate, because what a debate it was. I want to hear from you, but of course I'll tell you all what I think as well. But what do you think? 855-757-855-752-4842. If you're an independent and undecided, maybe you're a recovering Republican, did the debate change your mind? Why or why not? If you know independents or centrists or people that maybe don't always vote, do you think it changed their minds? Is it going to matter? Brian, my wonderful producer, and I have inquiring minds, and we would like to know what you think. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We're going to have a real special guest joining us in a little bit to talk about the debate. I'm super excited to have the guest. I'm not going to tell you who it is yet, but you're not going to want to miss their hot takes. Brian, I called you last night because I was like a little kid Christmas morning during the debate. I just was, wow, I've got on my Madam President t-shirt today. If you watch us on YouTube or the Book of Faces. Yeah, it was incredible. What did you think, my friend? I was giddy.
I have two thoughts on the debate. The first one is, and the other one is, that's the scariest thing I've seen in ever, because that man was talking on stage and there are a lot of people who want him to have power, and that scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, I think, frankly, Brian, everybody's reaction is valid, but I think your reaction is especially correct, if I can say that. I fully endorse Brian's maniacal laughter in part response, because some of it was back guano crazy. Like, turnabout is fair play. We will talk all about it. But the other impression that you had, Brian, I agree with too. Like, holy cow, millions of people think that is acceptable. I don't understand it. I don't know how any person who's being honest could look at that performance and think anything other than, who is the nutbag in the baggy suit with the orange glowering. He was sweaty. He was old. He made no sense. The things he did say were downright frightening or just frankly insane. He couldn't even look at her.
Yeah, he couldn't even look at her. He was so weak, he couldn't look at her.
That is not someone I want leading our country. I forget any of the policies. Just on their ability to handle what is the highest stakes kind of encounter that you could possibly imagine. How can that guy be expected to interact with world leaders or to stand up to dictators as he said, oh, they would never do anything bad when I'm in charge. How is that guy supposed to, that performance is supposed to convince me that he wouldn't be susceptible to manipulation by world leaders? Are you out of your stinking mind? It was absolutely a blowout. Blowout. And I love the fact on this same kind of point, Brian, I love the fact that the conservative talkosphere, of course, has to find someone that's responsible whose name isn't Donald Trump for that terrible performance. So it's, of course, TV's most highly rated television news personality, David Muir, brings in more millions of viewers every night on the World News Tonight on ABC than does any cable pundit, than does any talking head on MSNBC, Fox News, CNN combined.
Maggie,
people listen to David Muir. You're going to blame the newscasters?
Maggie, my mother-in-law, who is a Trump-loving Republican, loves David Muir. And I think she might actually turn on Trump based on him dissing David Muir. Just so you know.
He's a handsome guy.
He's a handsome and reliable guy. He's got that nice, kind of soft way about him that's just... It's just nice, and you just kind of want to hang out and listen to him tell you stuff. Yeah,
David Muir is basically the anti-fancy Brian Kelly, anti-Matt. Like, he's the opposite of you and I. We're emotive, excitable. David Muir, smooth, dulcet, calming tones, never gets upset, didn't get upset yesterday, just kept moving through. And the other moderator, Lindsay Davis, who hosts World News Tonight on the weekends when David Muir has a couple days off, she was the same way. Completely placid. They didn't get flustered. I frankly thought it was one of the best debate moderation performances in the Trump era. Light touch fact checking. I mean, he said a lot of lies. They fact checked the most outlandish of them, but that's my producer, Brian Kelly. I'm Maggie Dawn. That's what we're thinking. What are you all thinking? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Phones and text lines are open. Eric from Madison texting in on the WMDX line says this: Maggie, after watching the post-debate ad hoc focus groups with undecided voters, I'm convinced that they're really just Trump voters who are trying to rationalize voting for someone who gave such a horrific performance last night. I got to admit, I saw some of those roundtables, and like every network had a version of them, right? And there was a lot of, well, I don't know if it really... A few people, I believe CNN's roundtable, out of seven of the voters that were supposedly undecided that they talked to, five basically moved towards Kamala Harris. But I think a lot of that is just random and totally unreliable. Like, seven people does not a statistically significant sample size make, right?
I'm amazed they found any, like, seven people that had no opinions to begin with.
In like some of the toss-up Pennsylvania counties too, it's like Pennsylvania is ground zero. It's like Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, ground zero. You're undecided still? Those people exist. What I would buy is maybe a low propensity voter, like someone who just doesn't get into the politics so much. Lama from Madison, also on MDX line, saying Kamala took Trump out to the woodshed. You can see it on Trump's face that he isn't getting away with his crap anymore. Hear, hear. It was impressive. I've also heard these random allegations that she was given the questions. Stupid. That's not how this works.
Whether she's given, at the time. whether she's given the questions or not. If you ask me, what do you think that they're before the debate? What do you think they're going to ask about? I'm going to say the exact things that they talked
about. Right, that they asked about.
If you can't figure out what the questions are, maybe you have the problem, Trump campaign.
That is exactly right. What you saw was the difference between prepared and unprepared. That was the difference. You always know what the topics are going to be. Again, this is why trial lawyers, like I said yesterday, are so great at this. You don't know exactly the order of what's going to occur in a courtroom in the middle of a trial, right? You don't exactly know what the witness is going to say, but you know the things that you have to ask the witness about. You know your documents, you know your facts, you know what you can use to nail the witness who's going to lie. That's what she did. She was prepared. Trump thought he could wing it. Did he think he was at another rally? Did they not tell him it wasn't a rally? Did they not inform him that undecided voters do not surf Truth Social all day and are not in the QAnon rabbit hole of ridiculousness? Let's take a call from one of our favorite callers, Mark from Prairie du Sac. What did you think of the debate, my friend?
She thoroughly mistressed him. I mean, that she just had him control the entire time. That I think she knocked him out of this. She knocked him off his heels when she actually walked over and shook his hand, showing just how classy she is. And Trump was just glowering the whole time. You know, that I don't think I, you know, his lips might have twitched upwards a few times, but most of the time he just glowered. And I mean, that for all these right-wing pundits that are saying, well, it's so unfair for them to fact-check, you know, Donald Trump, that any decent moderator, when he says an outright lie, like saying, well, they murdered babies after birth, has to call that out.
Has to fact-check, yes. The fact-checking was so light touch. I totally agree with you. And it was on the most ridiculous things. We are now joined by my very special guest. I'm going to call her a co-host because we've done it together before. I can think of no one better than to ask, what did you think of the debate, than Milwaukee County Board Chairman and my good friend and yours, Marcelia Nicholson. Welcome back, Marcy.
Hey, Maggie. Hey, viewers. What a strong and confident performance last night from our Madam Vice President. It was a debate, one of the best debates I've seen on the Democratic side. She handled herself beautifully. She handled tough questions well. She stayed focused on the issues. She used her intelligence, her brilliance, her empathy as a woman who grew up in a middle class to connect with viewers. We got to know her better. She spoke about her childhood. She spoke about what inspired her, whether it was her second mom, who was a small business owner, or the friend she had as a child who experienced abuse and yes, inspired her to be a prosecutor and put bad guys like Trump away. She switched smoothly between talking about her policies and her plans. She called the GOP out for their failures. She showed why she has the experience and the readiness to lead. And I thought she did an incredible job at showing why she should be our next president.
Marcy, I'm going to say this to you because I was thinking of you while I was watching the debate. You are, in many ways, I think, I can see many of the characteristics of the vice president in you. I want to talk a little bit more about that, especially what it means as a young Black woman in politics, because the rules are different. And boy, I think she just changed the game potentially forever. I'm joined by County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked. More debate talk when we return after these brief messages.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to
travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Cause baby, now we got bad blood. You know it used to be mad love. So take a look what you've done. Cause baby, now we got bad blood.
Hey, I can't take it back. Look where I'm at. We was OG like
take it from this, this childless dog lady. Kamala won. I mean, Mamala, that was a performance. Folks, you're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Maggie Dawn. My producer's Brian Kelly, and I'm joined this afternoon for the time that we do have together by my friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson. Thank you so much for being here. Before the break, I was talking about the fact that, Mars, I saw and you came to mind so frequently during the debate for a couple of these reasons. First of all, Kamala Harris was so classy and she presented such a study in contrast, right? But with the trashiness of Donald Trump. I mean, that's what it was. Second of all, she would not be baited. She could not be pulled off her message. She knew what she was there to do and she went ahead and did it. And she was able to get so effectively under the skin of Donald Trump. I have seen you handle some dicey business in this game of politics. And like the vice president, you do so with class and panache and you handle the business. What were your impressions? You know, again, as a Black woman in politics, like, I think she changed the game yesterday. Like, that is a standard that was just set.
Yes, yes. And that is what resonated with me the most, I think, watching that debate. And as you stated, as a woman of color, she ran a clinic, an absolute clinic, on how to school a mediocre white man who was absolutely angry and rattled, fell into every single trap, and show why he was unfit to be president. And I just have to be frank. Kamala Harris did this because of two reasons. One, because she's a brilliant prosecutor. She's a brilliant legislator. She's been a brilliant vice president, and she's prepared, and she is skilled, and she is smart. But two, she understands that as a woman of color, there are like unique challenges that we face, and they stem from biases, the stereotypes of Black women as angry, unfit to lead. And she has to be held to these higher and more impossible standards. She's expected to be, you have to be assertive, but not too assertive. We still have to like you. Yep. You can be confident, not too confident. You know, hold on there. Don't be too strong. Always having to prove yourself and not having that luxury. For her meant that she had to show up and make sure that she put on that strong face to be representative of a community. And I know what that feels like to have a community on your shoulders. But she did, again, an incredible job because she is grace. She embodies it. And I'm just so proud of her. And on the other end, you have Trump, who again showed why he's unfit to be president. He talked about migrants eating cats. He talked about fourth-term abortions and executing babies. I mean, it was absolutely chaotic.
It was bananas, right?
I felt like I was watching an old senile conspiracist at the, like, chess game in the park talk to the air. I mean, it was absolutely crazy.
Yeah, like one of those old dudes playing chess all day in the park, rambling on about who killed JFK sort of nonsense. Totally agree, Chairwoman. Let's take a call from Jess out of Madison. Hey, Jess, what do you have to say?
Hey,
Thanks for taking my call. I didn't feel at ease while watching the debate last night or afterwards. And the reason is because I thought, wow, it's not new that this crazy man is spewing such garbage out of his mouth. And I remember in 2016 thinking, wow, Hillary really just mopped the floor with him. And other like-minded people seemed to feel the same way at the time. And then the rest of the country was like, yeah, no one cares. So I didn't feel good about the metric of how I felt watching it until I woke up this morning and heard two things. One, his Truth Social stock price plummeted. And the other thing was hearing the right-wing echo chamber spinning out the same talking points about, oh, well, this is why he lost, though. So it's like, oh, okay, you admit he lost. Cool. If yes. You know it, too, even if you're making up for it, fine. The other thing I'll say is that the moment it came out of his mouth, this idea about immigrants eating pets, it was like, wow, that's definitely something that's going to be talked about for weeks. And all the people in the middle, it's like they're not going to be moved on tax policy or whatever. This fits into that narrative, that carefully woven narrative about how weird these people are. And that resonates with, you know, the everyman kind of a thing.
I couldn't agree with you more, Jesse. Like, the word that I wrote down when I was watching the debate multiple times, just let it flow, was that's weird. Oh, more weirdness. Yep. Weird, 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 crazy, weird. It was absolutely shocking how completely unhinged Donald Trump was. Britt Hume on Fox News, Marcelia, said this last night, quote, look, make no mistake about it. Trump had a bad night. He rose to the bait repeatedly when she baited him, something I'm sure his advisors begged him not to do. In this debate, we heard so many of the old grievances we thought Trump had learned were not winners politically. So my sense is Kamala Harris came out in pretty good shape. That's out of Britt Hume's mouth on Fox News. Marcy, what do you think his greatest failing was yesterday? There were so many to pick from, but I have the one moment where I was like, ooh, this is not going to go well for him.
Well, I think his greatest failing is that he was president of the United States. He ran for a second term and is now running for a third time and could not point or express a plan that he had to chart a way for everyday Americans and to lift up the middle class and set a vision for what this country can be. Instead, he had a concept of a plan, which were his direct words, which we all know is Project 2025. He won't admit to. But it's an absolute failing on his part that he says he has a concept of a plan when we have an election in November and our American people deserve a president who's going to go in day one with a plan like Kamala Harris, who will...
Yeah, I got to hop in there, Chairwoman. We're going to come back with Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson, who's my special co-host today in our post-debate coverage here on The Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Maggie Dawn. My producer's Brian Kelly. We want to hear from you. We'll take more of your calls and texts when we come back after the bottom of the hour farm update. You can join us, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. You might notice we might be listening to a little T-Swift today. Wonder why that might be. We'll talk about it when we come back on the other side of the bottom of the hour here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Band-aids don't fix bullet holes. You say sorry just for show. If you live like that, you live with ghosts.
You forget, but you never let it go.
Band-aids don't fix bullet holes. You say sorry just for show.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
All eyes may be on the election, but farmers are wondering if they're going to get a farm bill. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Wednesday. Where does the process even stand as of today? We'll find out next.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
Perry Ostis is the Vice President of Legislative Affairs for Compure Financial, and he stresses getting a farm bill done by the end of this calendar year isn't just important to farmers, it's important to families that depend on the U.S. Department of Agriculture for food benefits.
This gets punted into 2025. That opens up a whole nother set of dynamics. One way or another, we will have a new president as a country, and they will be nominating people to serve in their cabinet, which will require confirmation hearings. We know at least on the Senate side, there will be a new Agriculture Committee chair. Debbie Stabenow from Michigan, the current chair, is not running for re-election. So we know we'll have some new players and leadership on the Agriculture Committee, and certainly we'll have new members on the committees themselves. So there's a whole host of reasons why this needs to get done and why it should get done in that lame duck session after the election.
Perry Ostis, Vice President of Legislative Affairs with Compure Financial. He reminds all of us that the Farm Bill really isn't just about farmers. 80% of what's contained within the Farm Bill relates to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's execution of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program and other food-related support mechanisms within USDA.
Curious about how to eliminate weeds in organic vegetable farming? Get answers at the Oats Organic Weed Control Workshop, co-hosted with Marble Seed on September 19th in Athens, Wisconsin. Farm owner Cad Becker and organic weed control expert Sam Tilton will guide participants through the many vegetable weeding tool options available. You'll tour the farm learning about weed ecology and how to adjust your approach to match field conditions. Visit organicagronomy.org to register and secure your spot today.
And Andrea Swenson has been named the new director of the National Children's Center for Rural and Agricultural Health and Safety. That program is part of the National Farm Medicine Center and also part of the Marshfield Clinic Research Institute in Marshfield. Swenson takes over for Barb Lee, who had been the only director in that center's 27-year history. More on this announcement available at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the low to mid 80s this afternoon. The wind out of the south at around 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, low in the mid 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 84.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County Clerk's backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican Sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling. It's a gut feeling. Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we welcome the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, Trigby Olson, back to the program. Your calls as well. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
quiet of the night, you know that I caught it.
Right now,
bad, bad boy, shiny toy with a price, you know that I bought it.
I don't know, what do you all think? I think there's some Taylor Swift songs that might match Donald Trump's mood after the debate last night. He might want to check out her catalog of tunes. She's got a song for every occasion. And of course, Taylor Swift dropping a huge bomb after the debate last night, coming out in support of Kamala Harris and providing reasons why both she's supporting Kamala Harris and why she's speaking publicly about who she's going to be voting for this fall. My special guest talking about the debate is Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson. I've got a couple of pieces of news for you, Marcy. I'm Maggie Dawn. Folks, you're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. You're on the Civic Media Radio Network. But Marcy, I wanted to get your reactions to a number of facts, actually. All I think I can put safely in the good news category. The first thing is that the General Services Administration, which is a division of the federal government, said that as of 11 a.m. Eastern today, there have been 306,422 visitors to vote.gov referred from Taylor Swift's X post last night.
That's, oh my God.
Is that not absolutely amazing? Over 300,000. That's good news one. Good news two. Just before we got on the air, news broke about Marquette University Law School's most recent poll. They were polling before the debate. So this is before the debate numbers. This was not reaction to debate. The poll is now showing Harris at 52% to Trump's 48%. And with third-party candidates, Harris leads Trump at 47% compared to Trump at 43%, including Jill Stein, Cornel West, Chase Oliver, et cetera, and Robert F. Kennedy. Huge. Good news. Thoughts, reactions to those two facts?
That is absolutely great news. I am especially thrilled to hear about that over 300,000 people that went and registered to vote. That means that they were inspired by that debate. It means that they're inspired by Taylor Swift, who has shown what it means to be engaged in the political sector and lifting the voices and amplifying the voices of people who felt like they didn't know where to go to get that information. I'm excited about the fact that our polling places are going to be full of new voters. And that just absolutely thrills me. And just on the Marquette poll, I mean, I'm not surprised. Our Madam Vice President has just been doing an incredible job of proving why she should be the next president of the United States, whether it's articulating her plan for the American people moving forward, or whether it's actually showing up in cities like Milwaukee multiple times, showing up in small cities and small towns across this country and letting people know that they matter to her, that she understands what they're going through and she's going to make it better when she's elected president. That's what that shows me and what it proves to me. And just in the spirit of Taylor Swift, it just reminds me of one of my favorite songs of hers, and which meets the moment, I think, in terms of Donald Trump being elected president. We are never, ever getting back together again.
Hey, we are never, ever getting back together again, not just from T-Swift, but from Marcelia Nicholson, my guest host, co-host with me in this post-debate coverage. She is the Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman. I loved what Taylor Swift said in her post to X about an hour and a half after the debate last night in her endorsement of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. She says this: "I'm voting for Kamala Harris because she fights for the rights and causes I believe need a warrior to champion them. I think she is a steady-handed, gifted leader, and I believe we can accomplish so much more in this country if we are led by calm and not chaos. I was so heartened and impressed by her selection of running mate, Tim Walz, who has been standing up for LGBTQIA+ rights, IVF, and a woman's right to her own body for decades. I've done my research and I've made my choice. Your research is all yours to do and the choice is yours to make. I also want to say, especially to first-time voters, remember that in order to vote, you have to be registered. I also find it's much easier to vote early. I'll link where to register and find early voting dates and info in my story. And then she gives the link. She explains why. I mean, and I love the fact that, like, even the syntax is a little wonky, right? Like, this was not written by a communications expert. This was clearly right. T. Swift writing in her own words.
Right. This coming from someone who cares not only about her audience, but who shows up for her as an American. And I think she put it plainly that she did the research and she found that Kamala Harris has strong leadership capabilities. She has sound judgment. She can communicate well. She's diplomatic. Yes. She's intelligent. She has integrity. These are all things that we want in our president. And the fact that she was able to state that plainly for eyes and ears to see everywhere, I think it's incredible. Kudos to her. And kudos to those folks who listened to that message and took it to that site and went and registered to vote.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely amazing. It's more impactful than her earlier tweet during the last election cycle. I think that only resulted in upwards of 30,000 new voter registrants. We got 300,000 visiting the site. I'm sure there's going to be a ton of new voters, young voters. That bodes incredibly well for Madam Vice President. I kept saying to the TV as she was speaking, like nodding and sort of like amening, like I was in church and like felt so, I kept calling her Madam President during that. I got on my Madam President t-shirt yes. today. Again, an absolute clinic. Here's another great bit of news for you, Madam Chairwoman. Act Blue processed yesterday alone, $46 million in new donations yesterday alone. It's the single greatest fundraising haul in a single day in the history of Act Blue. And upwards of 20 million of that came between 10 p.m. and 12 a.m. So after the debate was wow. over, people went and opened up their wallets.
And they're showing that we're making a clear choice who we want to be president, and that's Kamala Harris. And it means we need to get out and vote for her. Like you said, vote for her early and vote for her on November 5th.
Absolutely. Let's take a couple of texts and calls if you've got time, Madam Chairwoman. One of our texters from the 855, excuse me, from the 262 texting in that Major Garrett provided the best commentary on CBS. Thank you, Steve. Texter from MDX texting in that David Muir is the Walter Cronkite of this era, that he did a great job. Steve also saying clean up on aisle 10 in the spin room. Yeah, this is an indicator. if you haven't heard, folks, when a candidate goes into the spin room, that means you've lost because you need to go spin.
Yes.
Donald Trump was in the spin room last night. Michaela from West Bend pointing out that these panels of undecided voters are likely paid market research type folks. And they have to say they're undecided in order to be chosen and paid. I'm not sure if that's true. I think a lot of news agencies do not pay folks. Kurt from Madison, he points out the handshake moment, Marcy, which as soon as it happened, I was like, oh, damn. Like, she's ready. She walked right over to him, her hand right. It was, I'm Kamala Harris. She could have said, you idiot. My name's Kamala. And he also, of course, hates shaking hands because he's a germaphobe. Did you clock that moment as well? I thought it was powerful.
I absolutely clocked it. I thought it was powerful. I think it set the right tone, the perfect tone. I think it showed that she's a leader. She walked right over to him, introduced herself. And I'm sure she had a plan if he had not shook her hand. And it just speaks to how brilliant and prepared and strong she is, and how capable she is in her willingness and ableness to just hold herself up on that stage, hold her head up high, and prove why she should be our next president. It was absolutely incredible.
Yeah. She looked damn good, right? He looked like a sweaty, old, confused, you know, your crazy Uncle Frank that sits in the corner sipping beer, muttering to himself at all the family gatherings. Mike from Spring Green, say hello to Brian. Say hello to Marcelia Nicholson. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Hello. and this is a little off the track, but did anybody notice any evidence of a wound on his right ear last night?
Oh, good point, Mike. I did not even think to look. Did you notice anything, Marcelia?
No. I noticed a lot of sweating. I noticed a worn out tan, and a lot of chaotic rhetoric, but did not notice at all any sort of wound. What that means, yeah, you know, is left to be said, but.
Yeah, Mike, did you see anything or are you pointing that out because you couldn't see any?
I could not see anything. I thought I'd see stitches or a scab or some kind of some evidence. It's only a couple weeks ago, right? How many? What, three weeks ago?
Yeah, like a little over a month, something like that.
Yeah. Wouldn't he have a mark? Wouldn't there be a mark?
You would think so. I was totally distracted by the weird darker orange coloring around his nose. It looked funky. Oh, like it was like whoever did the makeup, not good. Bad makeup job, which I think reporting has said that he plasters on the old pancake himself, which might explain a wee bit of that. Mary from Mount Horeb says this: did anybody notice how the former guy is talking about Trump thought it was a badge of honor that he fired so many people and had such high turnover? Yeah, usually that's a mark of not good leadership when people have to get canned repeatedly. I thought that was a bit odd myself, Mary. Thank you for that. Joshua from Wausau says we should start calling them Don and JD, the crazy cat men. Yeah. They've got some weird thing about her pets. I don't get it. It seems a little obsessive. Patrick from Green Bay, say hello to Chairwoman Nicholson. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Hello, Chairwoman. Long time listener, first time caller. I'm up here in Deep Tier. So this is more of a general question or comment. Yeah. I'm out here doing some knocking on doors. I encourage your army out there who's listening to get out there, do something. To quote Michelle Obama, do something.
Knock do something. Patrick, thanks so much for calling. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you call back again sometime. I'm with you, Patrick. Do something, like knocking on doors, like telling your friends, checking out vote.gov. Here in Wisconsin, we've got myvote.wi.gov. You can review ballots. You can find out where to register. You can get your early vote. You can ask for your ballot to be mailed to you if you want to do absentee early voting. All good things. Marcelia, we're coming up on the end of our time. I know you got another meeting to go to. What are your final thoughts for listeners this afternoon after watching, I think, our first female president absolutely kick Donald Trump's butt?
Look, I think we saw exactly what kind of president Kamala Harris is going to be. You got Trump, who's stuck in the past. He lives in a doom and gloom and deep conspiracy theory space. He's erratic and unable to make decisions. And you have someone like Kamala Harris who offers a new way forward. She's going to be a president for all, regardless of color, gender, creed, party. She's going to take us to where we need to be with us. We need you to vote for her on November 5th. We will do this. If we vote, we win. Let's do something.
Yeah, let's do something because we're not going back. Joe Biden tweeting that out this morning. We're not going back. I thought that was absolutely fabulous. A couple of our texters, Troy and a texter from the 920, pointing out that potentially the reason that you're not seeing any sort of permanent injury scar on the former president was that the blood that was on Donald Trump was actually not his own. It was from a person behind him who was splattered when the shooting occurred. So the bullet skimmed his ear. And it, again, not likely his blood. So all of that to say thank you so much, Madam Chairwoman. It's always great to hear your voice. I love you. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. You too. And thanks to all of you for tuning in.
Absolutely. I'm Maggie Dawn. My producer's Brian Kelly. You just heard from Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelian.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Give the-
the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Pilot with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WRCE website at wrce.fm, your news just for the Richland Center area. I'm Joanne Krulatz with WRCE News.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
What? Then you come around again and say, baby, I miss you and I swear I'm gonna change. Trust me, remember how that lasted for a day? I say, I hate you, we break up, you call me, I love you.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Welcome back, Wisconsin. From Taylor Swift's lips to Donald Trump's ears, we're never, ever getting back together. No thank you.
Getting back together.
I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Some post-debate celebration. I can't think of another word for it. Brian, it struck me last night as we were about an hour into the debate, and it was very clear who was winning, that we will have witnessed two presidential debates in the span of under 4 months that probably will be two of the most impactful presidential debates that I have ever seen. Usually, and I've made this argument on the show before, usually the debates are kind of ho-hum and not much gets done unless there's some huge gaffe or a huge line that's landed. But these two debates, one led to President Joe Biden dropping out of the election, which brought us to the moment yesterday where we saw who is going to be our first Black female president of the United States absolutely handle the ailing, feeble, fumbling, bumbling nonsense that is Donald Trump. I just hugely impactful, historic even. Again, I think Kamala Harris has truly reset the standard. One of the moments, Brian, that I think you played earlier and that our last guest, Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson, mentioned was when she, Kamala Harris, asked Donald Trump, like, where you criticize Obamacare all the time, like, where is your health care plan? What is it that you're proposing to do to solve the health care problem for Americans? Let's take a little listen to that, because it was a moment.
Yes or no, you still do not have a plan.
I have concepts of a plan. I'm not president right now. But if we come up with something, I would only change it if we come up with something that's better and less expensive. And there are concepts and options we have to do that. And you'll be hearing about it in the not too distant future.
He said that 9 years ago.
Yes, he did, Brian. And this is why I agree with the chairwoman. I sort of teased that I had some tipping point moments, and this was one of them. And it was important to me for two reasons. I'm not president right now. Well, you want to be president in a very short amount of time. You're running to be president. Part of that is actually telling people what you would do. So if you hate Obamacare so much and you don't like the idea that people can no longer be denied for having pre-existing conditions, what, sir, is your plan? That was the moderator, Lindsay Davis, following up. Effectively, Kamala Harris put the question out there. Lindsay Davis then followed up and said, sir, what is your plan? He doesn't, I have concepts of a plan. I don't, what? You tried to get Obamacare struck down like 8 times. That was the famous John McCain.
50 to 60 times they tried. They finally got it through the House, and Paul Ryan retired thinking that that was it. I'm done. And they had a kegger outside, and then McCain said no. And that's why he hates McCain.
McCain said yes. And Kamala Harris mentioned that. She said one, a revered Republican was the one that cast the deciding vote with the she mentioned that in the debate. And I thought, hell yes. That is exactly the point. And it also is the rebuttal of this nonsense. I heard it from John Kasich earlier this morning on MSNBC that, oh, well, she did a really great job and she was good, but we need more specifics. Who the hell are you talking to, John? And what were you watching? Donald Trump has never had specifics. If you want to know the specifics, that's the 900-page Project 2025, right? Like, that's where it is. But Donald Trump is too addled, too feeble-minded, too narcissistic, and too pathological to actually retain any detailed information about anything other than bizarro internet rumors thoroughly debunked about eating cats?
Maggie, about the eating cats thing, when he was confronted with it, he goes, but I saw that on TV. That means that he, who has access to better information, better than the internet than we have, and he has access to information, and he would eschew that for what he saw on TV.
Do you have that sound, Brian? Because David Muir is like, I'm not talking about crap on television. I don't want a president that gets his information that he's going to talk about in a debate. I don't want a president that's going to make his immigration policy based on unfact-checked claims that he watches on TV. Do we have the sound? Because it's stunning.
You talk about extreme. You know, I think, one of the reasons why in this election, I actually have the endorsement of 200 Republicans who have formerly worked with President Bush, Mitt Romney, and John McCain, including the endorsement of former Vice President Dick Cheney and Congress member Liz Cheney. And if you want to really know the inside track on who the former president is, if he didn't make it clear already, just ask people who have worked with him. His former chief of staff, a four-star general, has said he has contempt for the Constitution of the United States. His former national security advisor has said he is dangerous and unfit. His former secretary of defense has said the nation, the republic, would never survive another Trump term.
Yeah, that was the Vice President Harris reaction to this nonsense craziness about the pet eating that came flying out of Donald Trump's mouth. The reason that I say the man is clearly addled is that there's this, well, first of all, as people age, there's actually a term for what Trump does. It's called tangentiality or something like that. It basically means that as you get older, you have a harder time following your thoughts and constructing a thorough, like, beginning to front argument. And so your thoughts wander and you hop from topic to topic. Trump calls it the weave. I call it addled. Okay. That is not a guy who can hold complex thoughts in his mind for more than 5 seconds. Here's the other thing. He sees it on TV yesterday. It comes out of his mouth 5 minutes later, right? Like, that's what's happening. It's not actual information. We should all reject any politician that makes policy decisions based on unverified information that they see on TV. That's dumb. I guess I'm saying Donald Trump is dumb. Carol from Madison, we got to take care of some business, but we'll talk more about the debate at the 3:30 hour because I've got the millionaires coming up next. We're going to talk about tariffs and price gouging. You're not going to want to miss it. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is The Maggie Dawn Show. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. News, weather, and sports is next. And then we'll be back with more after these important messages. You go talk to your friends, talk to my friends, talk to me.
But we will never, ever, ever. We got to do something.
Absolutely.
We're going to win because we did so well. Because it was so overwhelming, the thing that we did.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Salvia.
Next time, the aftermath of the most important debate of your lifetime. Special guest host Matt Rothschild will help us break it down and figure out what it all means.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.